Hello, I'm talking today on the phone with my friend and colleague Nancy Steinecke. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So we actually, Nancy and I, normally talk almost every Saturday morning about this time, so you're just going to get to listen in on us being kind of normal, I guess. But we're going to focus on Nancy's new book, which is called Assessment Live, 10 Real-Time Ways for Kids to Show What They Know and Meet the Standards. And Nancy, I thought maybe it'd be fun for us to start out by talking about your school near Chicago there, where you've developed this work and the material of three other Heinemann books that we'll talk about later. Tell us a little bit about Andrew High School.
Well, Andrew High School is a pretty big high school. We have 2,600 students. I would say mostly they're middle class. We have a lot of European Americans, Mexican Americans, Arab Americans, and actually quite a few students that are ELL as well. I've been at Andrew for 31 years, and I would say that the ethnicities in the school has changed, but teenagers haven't changed at all.
Right. And so what promoted you to move toward these live assessments of kids' work? One of the old working titles of the book had something to do with paper-free ways for kids to show what they know. But what was it that motivated you to move beyond those old customary kind of paper and pencil measures?
Well, though I still use standard assessments from time to time, like Scantron tests and papers, of course, that's a requirement of the curriculum. I started to think about the way students write their papers. They write their papers for an audience of one, which is the teacher, and lots of times kids just really don't care about that audience of one. They write the paper to get it done and to turn it in without really ever giving much thought to style or quality or voice or whether it's interesting or even makes sense. And I thought, well, there's got to be a better way for kids to really pay attention to the way they're demonstrating their learning. And that's when I started to think about audience. And I've noticed that when students have to perform their learning before others and have an audience of 30 other students in the classroom besides me, mm-hmm. The quality greatly improves because now they care.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you've been working on this because now with the emergence of these new Common Core standards that are kind of coming out, at least under the aegis of the Obama administration, speaking and listening is something that's going to be highly emphasized. There are standards in there that make it clear that kids better be able to get up and perform effectively, both in a small group in an informal setting, but also in a larger kind of public forum, the kind of whole class event that you're talking about.
Yeah, and even going beyond the standards, I think it's really important that students be able to speak and perform articulately and confidently in the real world, because whenever you go for a job interview, you better put out an outstanding performance. When you are on the job and have to do a presentation, it really better be sharp and precise. So although all of the things that are represented in the book, all these different activities, do reflect, I think, very strongly these standards, I think what we really need to start thinking about is, rather than national standards or state standards, is standards for being a successfully employed person throughout one's life.
For sure. And all of us parents feel that in our DNA, that's for sure. Well, you said, so in the book there are 10 specific structures or strategies, we guess we could call them, for giving kids these opportunities to perform live what they know, what they've learned. It occurs to me as I look through them that some of them are ones that are going to be fairly familiar to a lot of teachers, ones like maybe reader's theater, certainly storytelling and so forth. But then there are others here that are more unique, certainly far less widely used. Is there one of them that you'd like to say a few words about? I don't know, academic controversy or PostSeeker. There's so many of them here. Tableau. What are ones your kids really love?
Well, I think it depends on what your goal is as far as your curriculum. One of the things that my students are learning to love in their junior year is academic controversy, which translated means learning how to argue both sides of an issue confidently, but with specific detail and support and clear, precise arguments. Junior year, at least in Illinois, our huge focus is the ACT test. And part of the ACT test is a writing portion in which they have to write an argumentative essay, and they have to address more than one side of the argument. If they just write a persuasive essay, the highest score they can get is a 4 out of 6.
Wow.
They cannot really score very well. And so it's essential for students to understand how to dissect, understand, and articulate both sides of an argument. And then once again, going back to the real-life situations, heaven knows as far as the issues that are in the news daily today, such as the war in Afghanistan, health care policy, if people could actually think about issues in a way that they could move from one side of the aisle to the other, it would probably help our society as a whole.
Yeah, definitely be a better world. And interestingly, not to beat these new standards to death, but a lot of these activities that are in the book don't just involve performing. Kids have to prepare their performances, and many times, and almost every time, it involves creating a script or a paper or some kind of written material. And again, these Common Core standards, the writing standards say that kids have to be able to present both sides of an argument, just as you've been saying. So the message is pretty clear, I think, to all of us who teach, that this level of sophistication of writing and speaking and listening are going to be more and more emphasized. Well, Nancy, that brings up a really good point. If we could talk about that a little bit more, about the written component of some of these assessments that you do, can you kind of give some examples of how that happens for kids in the process?
Yeah, absolutely. With any of these assessments, one of the first steps is a research and writing component. Students are engaging in the same kind of activities they would for a paper, except this time the information that would be in the paper ends up being performed instead in some way.
Right. And then one of the interesting things about that, now what do you do with the papers? Then do you bring them home and spend the weekend grading them too, or how does that work?
No, that's the advantage of what I call real-time assessment. So instead of the final paper on the Great Gatsby being 30 or 60 papers I take home, the final paper, which is a piece of character research, becomes the post-secret project. In this case, what students have to do is determine a secret of character in a novel or even in history or in science. You know, this could be an actual historical figure. They have to determine a secret this character could have but isn't explicitly revealed in the text. However, it cannot be far-fetched, it has to be believable, it has to be realistic, and they have to support their secret with actual text. So they have to say, you know, the character has this secret, but here's all the things in the text that led us to believe this secret could actually occur. But then in the end result, what the students create, of course they turn in all the research to me, but what they do in the end is they have to create a visual representation of the secret, of course, without mentioning the character's name, and they state the secret, and then other students in the class guess which character that secret belongs to. And it's a lot of fun for the students. And the other thing, too, it's a way for kids that are not going to write great papers about character to express themselves in a more artistic visual element. I know this year I have one girl who, for the most part, is unengaged in what I do in school. However, whenever she has an opportunity to create something artistic, she blows everyone away. She's an incredible artist. And in her art, she uses symbolism and metaphor. It's incredible. But yet if I asked her to write about it, it would never happen.
This reminds me so much with my kids. I was always being reminded every time I opened up the possibility of drama or of movement or of art, then you get a whole new cohort of kids that was excelling and succeeding. And it's just sort of like that permanent dent in the forehead thing that you get, you know, smacking yourself saying, man, why don't I do this more often? Why am I always relying on these paper and pencil tests where only this one cohort of kids, again, succeeds? You're not opening the door for all those other kids to show what they know.
Yeah, absolutely. And besides that, when students get to see other students use these skills and show how talented they are, the other students in class really respect them so much more and don't view them as, oh, well, that's the, you know, that's the girl that's always doodling in the corner and hardly ever pays attention. You know, now they know this girl. This is the girl that's the fabulous artist that really can express her thoughts visually.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, something you're reminding me of is that many of the, I mean, it's all about community. I mean, whole premise of all this, of your, well, all your work, really going back to your book, Reading and Writing Together, and all the way through the mini lessons and all the other work that you've published, it always comes back in some way or other to community and to interaction and to collaboration. And in these live assessments, you know, I see that same thing again. So many of them are offering opportunities for kids to work together, you know, in pairs or in teams or some kind of groupings. And is that what you feel like, you're just extending that theme in all your work with kids?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely believe that students can learn more if they work together than if they are working in isolation. The most important thing, though, to create this collaborative community is to create positive social norms. And one of the things that I do right at the beginning of the year, the first week of school, is we define what does it look like to be friendly to someone? What does it look like to act supportively? And we also talk about what I call home court, that this room is a place where everyone gathers to support each other as a team, working together, but also we are fans of one another. We want to win the games. And the good news is that in the classroom, it's not competitive. There is no restriction on how many people get A's. Unlike a real game, someone wins, someone loses.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can be a winner in the classroom. And the kids really, on a level, value that. Of course, they're teenagers. They're not going to say out loud, this is a great place to be. But you can tell by the way they behave, and they're happy to be in the room. And interestingly enough, I had a student that I had last year, big, huge football player who's going to be going off to college. He came and asked for a college recommendation, and he walked in the room, and this was during my preparation period. There were no students, and he looked around, and he saw these posters about home court and support and friendliness on the wall, and he looked at them really wistfully and said, I don't have that in any of my classes this year. And it made me sad. But also, it was something that once he wasn't in the room anymore, he realized how valuable it was.
And here's a guy who knows how powerful team can be.
Yes.
He really, really understands the camaraderie and the energy. And, wow, that's great. Well, Nancy, you know, it's always a joy to talk and every Saturday or any time. And we've done a lot of fun projects together. I guess this is just another one. So the book is called Assessment Live, 10 Real-Time Ways for Kids to Show What They Know and Meet the Standards. I know people are going to love it. And thanks a lot for spending time this morning, Nancy.
Oh, well, thanks for giving me a call.